Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as a child, my next guest had a terrible time in school, he says, struggled to read at all, thought he was stupid, an impression teachers did little to dispel. He grew up to become a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, but it wasn't until he was in his late 50s that he realized he had dyslexia. Now he's written a moving book about the condition and how he learned to understand his own mind. The book is My Dyslexia, and its author is Philip Schultz. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
How did that happen, that you had dyslexia all your life and didn't realize it until you were in your late 50s?
Well, my son was diagnosed with it in the second grade. He was 7, and I was there talking to the neuropsychologist, and all the symptoms came up, and it was, you know, this stunning moment when I realized these were my symptoms. This is why I didn't learn until I was 11 in the fifth grade and held back twice.
And you're right. Part of me has always lived in fear of the way my mind thinks and behaves, as if it weren't entirely in my control or belonged to someone who wasn't always sympathetic to me.
Right. Well, in my day, I mean, I don't think they knew what it was. I don't think they had the word. They just put you in the dummy class. There was a little table with three of us, and that kind of label holds. I was there for the better part of 2 years. The teacher would give us, we would look at her back. She would talk to the rest of the class. We were slow.
And what is dyslexia exactly? Can you explain what's happening neurologically in the mind of a kid or a grown-up, for that matter, with it?
Well, I'll do my best. You know, I'm obviously not a scientist, but I know that I have words now and ideas to fit my what's difficult for me. It's word retrieval. You look for the right word to say something and can't find it. And sometimes while I'm giving a poetry reading, when you do find it, I don't remember how to pronounce it. Because then there's issues with sound that they're understanding more and more, sound recognition. It's auditory processing. It's delayed processing. Sometimes when someone's saying something to me, I blank out. When I used to go to lectures, I couldn't do it. I would not go to classes. By the time I heard what a teacher was saying, I missed half of what they were saying. It's delayed reaction. It's cognitive recognition. It's a brain, essentially, that's wired differently, which once you understand that and deal with it in children, there's a certain advantage or edge in it. It's not all a bad thing.
Philip Schultz, author of My Dyslexia, 212-433-WNYC. Do you think you became a poet in spite of or somehow because of your dyslexia?
That's a great question. I wish I knew exactly the answer. I think it has something to do with the fact that there's so much stress. Anxiety is about anxiety. I mean, there's
an example.
Dyslexia is about anxiety. The brain is this. When you ask a brain that isn't wired to do something to do it, it creates a lot of anxiety. And in terms of trying to overcome that, kids will retreat into their imaginations. That stress will make them become internal. And I think I drew in the beginning. You spend a lot of time alone. There's bullying. You don't like school. So I was an only child. I spent a lot of time alone. And you develop an imagination. And I think that there's something calming about that. And in my case, writing was a way of you have to do something, and was a way of expressing all that stress, all that drama.
You do refer to dyslexia as a learning difference, not a disability. Is that just to avoid a negative label, or do you think it's just different, not worse?
You know, my generation and people my age will identify with this. It's very different from this the kids today who find out that they're dyslexic and are trained and taught don't see themselves as stupid. My son is a highly intelligent boy and sees that he is. I will forever carry the label of someone in the dummy class. It doesn't go away. And I can win prizes and be accomplished, but this is something that it's like a shadow that's just...
You're a third-grade teacher remembers little Philip from the dummy corner.
Yes, it's...
So you want to make sure that doesn't return.
There's probably part of me that wants to make up for that and works maybe a little harder and wants to compensate for that pass and is driven. And I think that perhaps a lot of dyslexics have that.
Mark in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Brian. You know, when I was 3 years old, I spoke late in life, and I started speaking with a stutter. And that persisted. When I was 12, my parents took me to Hunter College, and I was treated by a psychiatrist who tested me and came to the conclusion that I was moderately dyslexic, especially with numbers. Now, not that I'm correlating the stutter with the dyslexia, but the number thing is certainly true with me. And it is true that you get the feeling that your brain is not totally under your control, which does have its positive benefits. If you're
right.
You know, creative and trying to find a whole other way of viewing things, it comes as an aid because you're looking at the world a little bit skewed to the normal view of things.
Mark, thank you very much. Teresa in Long Beach, you're on WNYC.
Well, can I just say one quick thing?
Sure.
I mean, I had a terrible stutter, and it is related to the dyslexia.
Let me go to Mark in Manhattan next. Mark, you're on WNYC, and you're really identifying with this, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I am. Because I was one of those stupid kids, put in the 7 class or the 10 class of the grade, and I still carry that stupid part. Both my children are dyslexic, and I have tried very hard. I've tried very hard to make sure that they get this special help. And my older daughter has graduated of New York University with a high B average with the help of teaching. And my younger one has gone through special training. And both of them, they understand that I'm not stupid, and they understand that I have different talents. I could never look at the a project and read the instructions. I always did things by looking at the project itself and doing it, because today I still have problems reading.
Mark, I have to leave it there because we're going to run out of time, but thank you. And Philip is nodding his head, and obviously the two of you have had some very parallel experiences.
It's a very similar thing. I'm amazed at the letters and emails I'm getting. I mean, it's an outpouring that, because it sounds like this caller, through his children, has, sometimes we're lucky enough through our children, has dealt with it. But there's a lot of people who just bury it and repress it, and they never deal with it.
We have 30 seconds left, but besides not burying it and repressing it, besides not getting a negative label of stupid, people are calling in to ask, what do I need for my kid who's dyslexic? What's the most important thing?
You mean, well, you first have to be...
In terms of the extra help.
Well, you have to get diagnosed. There's an enormous amount of great organizations all around.
And to raise your anxiety level, we have exactly 20 seconds left.
It's a perfect situation for dyslexic. What do they do? They get diagnosed. You find tutors. They understand that, yes, it's a disadvantage in one way, and it's an incredible advantage in another, because you learn to master and deal with anxiety in a way that a quote-unquote normal person doesn't have to.
My Dyslexia is the name of the book by Philip Schultz, Pulitzer Prize-winning poet. Thank you so much.
Sure. Great.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.